we prime them for that future job, whatever that looks like, right? And it's not just the financial thing too. There's going to be things that exist like space policy expert, right? We're going to have space lawyers. We're going to have authors, just artists in space. You know what I mean? So just giving people the opportunity to understand how to speak that language, I think is going to be really important for them.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and chief goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to Learning Unboxed. As always, I am excited to talk with another great set of innovators in the transformative education space. And today we're going to be talking about the idea of making STEM and all STEM super accessible through the creation of portable innovation labs. And joining us today for that conversation is Idrisu Seydu, founder of Makerspace Central, and Rich Granger, managing director of workforce and economic development at Drive Ohio. Rich, for starters, that's a mouthful. But to both of you, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Thank you.
Great to be back.
Excellent. Yes. Some of you may recognize the name, Rich Granger. We've done at least one, maybe two, I can't even remember now, podcasts previously. So we can redirect you to all of that. So let's set a little bit of context for our listeners as we get started here. Drive Ohio and Makerspace Central have been industry partners for our Portable Innovation Labs project. That's also the topic of a previous Learning Unboxed to understand sort of what that all is. But Makerspace Central aims to address the need for a more diverse STEM talent pool to ignite the passion and curiosity for STEM in children and to provide a STEM third place for them, which I'm hoping that we get an explanation about. And Makerspace Central and PASS Foundation are partnering along with Drive Ohio on a rocket-focused PIL. So we're super excited for that conversation. And Drive Ohio is the state's one-stop shop for connected and automated mobility solutions on the ground and in the air. And in this role, Rich works with partners across industry, education, government, and communities to deliver a portfolio of workforce development programs that prepare Ohio's existing and emerging workforce. Thank you for those words, Rich. from pre-K to PhD for the future of smart mobility. So with all of that sort of context setting, let's get started first and foremost. So, Rich, we've partnered on a number of things before. We've been actively involved with Drive Ohio for a number of years. So set the stage for us for this new partnership that really lets us tap into what's going on with Makerspace Central and their expertise on design and development of a new PIL.
For sure. Well, picking up where we left off, and I think it was episode 49, and I went back and listened, and we're still doing a lot of the same stuff, but now it's at scale, which is super fun. So what Drive Ohio has been doing, especially over the past year or so, is to pull a lot of our curriculum and other resources for STEM educators into a toolkit. So a free online repository of information that's out there and accessible. And one of the barriers we keep running into is the ability to access equipment. The curriculum, I can download it. I get what you're saying, but where can I get funding, or how do I get robots or drones or other things like
that?
How
do I get the stuff?
The stuff. Where's my stuff? Yeah. So like the nanosecond we learned about this program, it's like, this is brilliant. Portable Innovation Labs, accessible for everybody, statewide, amazing. So it was a no-brainer on partnership. And so, yeah, we have been sitting down with Bree on your team and others, just cooking up ideas almost more than we can execute, but we are delivering the first slice of those. They've been out there for a few months now, and we're just extremely excited about it.
So, Idrisu, help us understand then the expertise that you and Makerspace Central bring to this problem we're trying to solve with this particular unit, and why rockets?
Yeah, let's kick it off with that. So I think, first off, space and rockets are really exciting to a lot of people, right? I think we have a lot of kudos to give to innovators like SpaceX for kind of reigniting that interest in space. And I think it was always there, that interest, right? But it was a matter of, hey, we can package what we do in a really cool way, like using YouTube and all these different social media platforms, right? And so in comes this huge, huge influx of people who are really interested in this and curious about that. And so my background in the engineering world is from the rocket science world and like working on rocket engines, building them, designing them, testing them, blowing them up because we didn't design it.
So that makes you a true rocket scientist.
Yeah. You know, I've gotten, you know, I like to call myself more a rocket engineer. but yeah, definitely, you know, if people want to call me that, you know, that's sure. That's great. But when thinking about partnering with PAST, one of the areas that we at Makerspace Central and identified was just that, look, there's a lot of really cool things out there as far as, hey, let's talk about some basic scientific principles when it comes to physics or chemistry or biology, right? But there isn't a whole lot of options out there that focus on the space and science realm. And so bringing in my expertise, we at the Makerspace Central team were able to put together some really cool designs and leveraging the 3D printing unit that the PIL kit that PAST Foundation already has, and combine those to make something really cool, right? Where we get to talk about the material science part of things, where we get to talk about how do we actually cool down a rocket engine? Do we need to cool down a rocket engine? Didn't even know that we needed to do that kind of thing, right? So kind of mashing those worlds together, I think, was really a great way to leverage some of the really cool stuff going on in the real world, where kids can look at what's going on with rockets and space and say, oh, that's cool. I know how to do some of that, or at least I know how to talk about some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It is true, right? Everybody's fascinated with it. We get to see it all over social media, on television, in the news, you know, take your pick, right? There's so much that's happening in the space of space, right? And because there's so much that's happening within that particular realm of work and curiosity and interest, and let's be honest, there's so much that's still unknown. And yet from an engineering, from a technological, from a philosophical, you know, all of those spaces, we're eyeballs deep, right, in the work. But really understanding what the potential of all of that is, that's a little harder for folks to grasp. And I think that's one of the things that drives not just kids, but people's curiosity about this, because honestly, very few will ever get the chance to truly, truly experience what it means. But we can all be part of the execution of the potential of what it could be.
Exactly.
So it's super exciting, and I get why everybody loves it. So capitalizing on that excitement, kind of a no-brainer, I think, for all three of our organizations to say, yeah, we should do this together. So with that sort of mindset on the table, Rich, help us then understand from Drive Ohio's perspective, why this unit and why now?
The world of aerospace and aviation is super important to Ohio's economy. And I think most people know NASA. Not everybody could spell out what NASA means. Space. They probably guess the S is for space, right?
Right.
But one of those A's is for aeronautics, which talks about everything below outer space. And if you get in, you know, this particular stuff that Drive Ohio is focused on, it gets into these things like electric air taxis, which get into, you know, certainly not upper atmosphere, you know, but then you get into lower atmosphere and you get into these drones. And oh my goodness, do students love drones, right?
Yes, they do, very much.
So the drone can be a hook. Our friends at USI, who I know PAST also partners with, they call the drone almost like an iceberg, where everything underneath the water is all the other stuff that goes with that drone, right? And so sometimes we're leading with that. Other times we're leading, you know, directly with space. I know that the Ohio STEM Learning Network Challenge is focused on space science. So this is very topical for this school year. But how does it relate to the Ohio economy? Just this past week, it was announced that Toyota has made their latest investment in Joby Aviation, which is building these electric air taxis in Dayton. As Joby succeeds with that business model, we got more and more jobs showing up at the Dayton airport. So, I mean, this is a very real and relevant topic that is super exciting to students and adults.
And not just limited to Ohio. It's a topic that's growing across the globe, right? To your point. I love that very much. Thank you for setting that context. Idrisus, similar question to you. From your work, and especially with your background, literally working in the space we're talking about, how do you then, as an expert in the field, less about your organization, but more about the work and the career opportunity? Because that's the other thing that I love about this collective partnership. So not only do we get to build these amazing things for kids to engage in, our collective hope is the kids will love some element of whatever this happens to be so much that they want to explore that career. And that through that exploration, we get a greater diversity of people and backgrounds and experiences and loves and passions and wants to go into this field because there are jobs. Mm-hmm. So from your perspective then, outside of the urgency, right, there is an urgent need to it, but how would you have that conversation, right, with your 8-year-old self that said, why should I go and spend time playing with this thing? Or my 15-year-old self, probably even more important, right, than the 8-year-old self.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of it is that we don't know what we can be, right? And I think, again, kind of touching on the first point, just space is just very inspiring, right? Like, we have always used space and aerospace in general as a way to just find out who we are, right? In a weird way, it's more of a philosophical type of approach, but we look to the stars and that inspires us to do things down here on the ground, right? And similarly, I would say we work in this field not because we know what the answer is, but we go through the process of discovery. We pick these really, really big, tough problems to say, all right, this doesn't feel realistic, but how would I do that? And throughout the history of science and technology development, I think people have always started off with that really impossible question. And then lo and behold, hey, we can actually fly planes, right? Like the Wright brothers. And lo and behold, we can actually get to the moon, like in the 60s, right? So I'd say in the field right now, there's so many different jobs and occupations that don't exist right now that probably will in 20 years and 30 years and 40 years, right? And so by getting people to understand the basic vocabulary and vernacular around different things in the space world, in the rocket world, in aerospace, and I think Rich can speak to this as well, we prime them for that future job, whatever that looks like, right? And it's not just the financial thing too, right? Like, it's great for someone to get a job in the space field. Whether it's as an astronaut or rocket scientist or as, you know, a data analyst, right? But there's going to be things that exist like space policy expert, right? We're going to have space lawyers. We're going to have authors, just artists in space. You know what I mean? So giving people the opportunity to understand how to speak that language, I think is going to be really important for them, not just financially, but also just as a person, being able to engage in a conversation in a smart way to say, oh, I know a little bit about that. This is what I think about it, and engage on that front. I think that's where a lot of it comes from, just thinking about what you can be in the future.
So, Rich, you've got kids of your own, right? So when you hear Idrisu talking about that potential for your kids, well, how do you react to that in terms of the way? Because I know you landed in this place, in this space, because of the passion to just have a greater educational outlook for your kids. I remember early on having this conversation with you as a dad, right? Not just Rich Granger, the amazing, you know, researcher and engineer and all of those pieces, but just as a fellow human for your own kids. And I think everybody wants this, but we grapple with how to do this well.
For sure. No, I appreciate all that. And yeah, my daughter is 10 now, and she's in her fourth grade year, determined to be a teacher when she grows up, which we're totally encouraging that, which is awesome. And honestly, with her and her friends, that's where we test out a lot of these ideas. And we do it with other classrooms around the state. I mean, we've got awesome partnerships with like Avalon Elementary and schools in Reynoldsburg, and then now in other cities around the state. And what the Idrisu is talking about here, I mean, dreaming big, absolutely. And we try to always bring it back to what problems are we solving? And that's an especially important way to frame it when we're talking about girls in STEM. You know, that just is one of the proven ways to get that message through. It's not wrong to talk about the technology at all. It's exciting, but it's also equally important to talk about problem solving because it pulls everyone into a conversation. And when we have these opportunities for students to even try those jobs out, it's just a great feeling to see students forming that kind of STEM identity. And my daughter will tell me, well, I'm not a science kid. And I'm like, oh, that's okay. It's all right. But you like, you know, English and language arts, right? Well, we need storytellers too. We need people to describe all this stuff. So whatever brings you in, it doesn't matter as long as you're part of the conversation.
Right. Yeah. And we're all STEMists. So please tell her that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I'm an anthropologist and I am so deeply into STEM. So it's all good.
Are you ready to join the movement to revolutionize education? Stay tuned for the full unveiling of my forthcoming book, Hacking School, 5 Strategies to Link Learning to Life, where we'll dive deeper into these topics and unlock key strategies to educational transformation. If you want to stay in the know, sign up for notifications at pastfoundation.org/hackingschool.
I want to talk a little bit now. I want to shift gears and I want to get into the weeds of the design and development of how we're doing this PIL. So, Idrisu, help us. You mentioned earlier in this piece of our conversation about, hey, there was this PIL that's all about 3D printing and there are these PILs, you know, that are all these different pieces and parts. And in your own mind, as an engineer, you could sort of see how lots of these different pieces could connect. So I know you sort of bring some of that mindset into the design and development. And as the subject matter expertise, along with Rich and Drive Ohio, we have a whole set of outcomes we're looking at for this. But when you think about the potential or how we're actually navigating the design and development of this new unit, walk us through that sort of from your experience.
Sure. Yeah. So first off, I would like to say thanks so much to Brianna for kind of putting all this together. She kind of like planted the seed for this of, hey, we have this kit and we want, or this PIL, right? And we want to expand on this a little bit, right? Let's bring your expertise in and let's start there, right? And that's where the conversation began. And for us, again, we see that there's this interest in space. There's this expertise that our team has in space. All right, let's craft something around that. So where we start is from just basic principles, right? Or first principles, if you will. And that is, what is a problem? And that can be related to science. It can be related to anything, any subject in the world. And you look at rockets and you see a lot of focus on, hey, let's launch a rocket, right? How does a rocket get into space? And within the rocket, you have the rocket engine. That's the actual propulsion unit that actually gets you up there, right? And we thought it'd be really cool to show kids how that actual design process goes and show them the complexities that are contained within a rocket engine that exist there that are enough to just be a whole PIL on its own. And so we take that and we sit down and we think about, okay, how can we showcase the complexity? Well, CAD, computer-aided design, is a really good way to show that. And kids love that. Like thinking about how I grew up on CAD and learned CAD, I'm on a desktop with a keyboard and mouse. You don't have to do that anymore. You can just use your iPad or iPhone and you can just touch and build, touch your touchscreen and build a design. Wild.
I would argue made design fully accessible.
Completely.
Anybody can do it now,
yes.
Suddenly.
Yes, it has brought us to, you know, an Iron Man, 2007 yeah. Iron Man with Robert Downey Jr. Never thought that movie would be good, but it was excellent. And you can see him like interacting with his model, his 3D model that he's built. And I think what we can do on touchscreens now is like the closest thing that we can get to that. Well, maybe VR, but that's for another conversation. But you take that and we think about how to actually build designs within CAD space that like students can understand at an age appropriate level. And we go ahead and we built out different designs. We show like, hey, this is a basic rocket engine. This is a rocket engine that needs to be cooled. And this is its, you know, its swirl pattern that it has on the inside. It's cooling channels. That's what we call them in the business. And here's another version of that same rocket engine with a different cooling pattern. And then tie that into how kids normally learn in a science classroom. And that's through experimentation. So let's utilize that same design and let's go ahead and 3D print it. And let's pass some water and some air through it so you can actually visualize that. So being able to tie a real world problem with real world items and challenges, design challenges, to just ways and methods and techniques that kids learn today and making it relevant and tie all that together to make it relevant so that they feel like, oh, I've learned something really cool and I know how it works for that real world thing. Let me apply that knowledge to other things. So that's really kind of our design philosophy for a lot of this is tying it to a problem, making it relevant to them, and tying into how they normally learn and make it fun along the way too. And 3D printing is very fun.
It is fun. And I love that fact that this is being driven from that design side and the variety of things that you can do with that and solving real world problems. We, you know, everybody who works, you know, in this transformative education space knows that's the key, right? This is about reshaping the way we think about teaching and learning to be fully hands-on and engaged, to let go of how we used to do it because we lose so many kids that way. Get their minds and their souls and their passions at play and the things they're exploring and investigating, and it's magical. And I know all three of us, we've seen that magic live, real, and it happens. So I really love that element. Rich, share with us a little bit then about the thinking. You know, when we think about these PILs, and so just to step back and set a little bit context, if somebody had not listened to the original conversation about the development and the whys of the PILs, these portable innovation labs, these are not kits, which is a really important distinction for us. Not that there's anything wrong with kits, but the intention here is to provide both formal and informal educators with an opportunity to go deeper than most kits will allow, right? To really get you into exploring career in a meaningful way that allows a kid to actually try to be that rocket scientist or engineer, you know, or to design drones or, you know, take your pick. So I think that distinction is really, really important. And Drive Ohio has also had a lot of time and energy kind of in that same sort of vein, I guess, really, right? So help us sort of understand why you think that distinction is really important from your organization's perspective, given the mission that Drive Ohio has in our state.
Yeah, well, we are playing the long game here. I mean, the fact that we talk about pre-K to PhD with the scope of work that we do for workforce development, and that means we need multiple touch points, different opportunities to kind of revisit, because when we lead these activities, we always want to make it home to the dinner table, right? I mean, we want the kids to go home and talk with their parents about what they experienced, but for those that really lock in, we want to be able to extend it and keep going, and that's what this lab solution really provides, is a chance to ideally for the students to create the extensions themselves. I mean, when we have led and been in the room with students on these drone activities, we have them build what we call a vertiport, which is like a modern heliport, right? A place for a drone to take off and land. And the first time it surprised me, but then it made sense as I thought about it. The minute I would announce, you've only got 5 minutes left and it's time to start flying the drones, I figured they'd be excited to go fly the drones. They were disappointed because they wanted more time to build. So I sat and reflected and said, well, that tells me they're not getting enough time to build most of the day. And I know I'm preaching to the choir on that. And so let's lean into that. Keep building. Keep going. Like, yeah, okay, you've built version one. And it's fun to watch the students kind of say, I'm done. And if I want to kind of push them a little, I'll say, well, really? Like, what about this? What about that? And then they realize, and I'm not trying to criticize. I'm just trying to say, this is what a practicing engineer and a design team does, is they keep adjusting. You're never totally done. And that, to see those light bulbs go off is just a real reward for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to toss this out to either one of you. So where are we? What comes next in this partnership work together? Like, so what's happening at this moment with this?
Right now with the 3D printing PIL, like the combination rocket engine and 3D printing PIL, we have sent over all the CAD files just ready for the experimentation process and actually getting it out to various schools. So we are looking forward to getting that deployed within some local school districts here in the next few months, hopefully, and just getting feedback on this, because from the discussions we've had so far, this is definitely the first in many PILs. With the approach we've taken with this 3D printing rocket PIL, it was really focused on, hey, let's focus on this design manufacturing portion of it, and let's build it out from there. Because we definitely see this as a really great way for kids to build more connection points, kind of similar to what Rich was saying there, right? Just you learn the lesson, and then you take it home, and then you start applying it in different ways, right? So what we want is for kids to learn about these cooling passages that exist within these rocket engines, and then go home, and then maybe they're bored on a Saturday, they pull their fridge out, and they see these weird pipes on the back of their fridge. You're like, oh, wait, what's that, right? And start thinking about how that's very similar to what they did in class. And then just starting to just make all these connections and tie-ins to various different places. And then, you know, replicate that across the different PILs that'll come in the future too. So hoping to look at things that will allow students to begin actually using analysis software. Of course, age appropriate, right? We don't expect everyone to be a CFD expert overnight, but get them to start thinking about things in a way that opens up potential job careers for themselves, or just a different way to think in the future.
And I'm going to chuckle here just a little bit because, Idrisu, you were that kid, right? You know, you just told families, kids are going to be sent home to pull the refrigerator out, right? I was like, kids don't naturally do that. But you were that kid, I have a feeling, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason you became a rocket engineer. I love that very, very much, right? Because that's exactly what we hope, that those kids will take it home. They'll talk to their families about this awesome thing that they did. And we are starting to get that feedback across the PIL sort of ecosystem that we're creating that, you know, teachers want more. We have one school that when Bree pulls up, right, and the big yellow boxes come out, they know what that is. They're like, oh, PILs, new PILs are here, right? There's this like cacophony of excitement around that. And we hear that from the educators that we work with. And I think... I know that's a powerful thing, because what it means is that we're taking these topics back to circle, full circle to what, where Rich started our conversation today, that this is a viable, meaningful, and important piece of our economy and our future workforce and the career potential, not just in Ohio, but lots and lots of other places. And if we can get those kids, right, to want to, when they're bored on the weekend, maybe not always pull out the refrigerators, but at the very least, hop on a device and dig, right? And say, what more can I learn about this? I'm wondering if, right? And then be able to bring those wonderings back into that same classroom or out of school experience that they had and want to explore that career some more. That's pretty darn powerful. Pretty darn powerful.
It is. And I think to build on that, we try to bring the fun in all of this.
Yeah.
I mean, one of our labs is called the Smart City Adventure. And we chose the word adventure to imply you don't know what you're about to get into. And we're not even totally sure what you're going to create, but we know it's going to be fun. And, you know, to your question of what's next for that one, it's a board game. We're working with some of your awesome interns at PAST, along with one of our amazing interns who just graduated from Northland High School out of their engineering program, and now she's down at University of Cincinnati. And I mean, who knows, maybe that board game will be taken home and, you know, the whole family can enjoy it. We'll see. We're going to be testing that out soon. So we're really looking forward to seeing where that goes.
Yeah. I love all the spinoff connections, you know, and I think that that speaks to the power of partnership, right? And we talk about partnership all the time. Actually, the P in PAST stands for partnering. It's super, super important to us. But I also think that in education spaces, sometimes we forget that the community assets and resources that we have locally, but also broadly, have such potential to inspire and to spark the imagination in our kiddos, right? And we get so hung up in all the things that we think as educators that we are supposed to teach that we forget about the things that we should teach. So I appreciate that very much. You know, gentlemen, as we sort of wrap the conversation, I always like to step back and think about the educators who may not be in Ohio. PILs, because people ask after they hear this, they are not currently available outside of Ohio. However, that is part of the scale plan. So please reach out. Anyway, but please know that the answer is not yet. But folks have been hearing us talk about this. And as we sort of think about what might be next, Idrisu, what's next for Makerspace Central and your work that you're excited about? It may be tied to this. It may not. That's okay. Because I imagine those educators sitting out there and they're like, huh, I wonder what else might be on tap that I could be part of.
Yeah, absolutely. So Makerspace Central, yeah, we're busy. We've got a lot of things going on. This last summer, we just wrapped up with our whole summer series. We called it STEAM Summer, the A for art, of course, because that is an important part of this, just being able to lean into that creativity aspect within our brains and make sure we're feeding that just as much. But yeah, what we do, we have free monthly community events that we offer to engage the community in a meaningful way. And we usually host these at informal learning environments like libraries, community centers. We just had our last one this previous weekend in October, we will be having our community event in collaboration for the Lights On After School programming. And we don't have the, we know who we're partnering with, but we're just finalizing this and wrapping up some details. Hopefully that gets announced like this weekend. And so we'll be looking forward to seeing folks at that community event. And then just keep posted for our events in November and December as we close out the year. We also have our workshops that we offer, of course, all throughout the city. So just check out our website. That's makerspacecentral.org, or follow us on Instagram, makerspace.central, and just keep up with our events and our updates there. That's where we post a lot of our, hey, we're going to be at this pop-up event, or we're going to be here with our pop-up makerspace. That's what we like to lean into, that messaging, that just that we have pop-up makerspaces. But yeah, that's really what we're striving hard towards. And you know, getting our STEM third place, if you will, our brick and mortar makerspace, where it's just open to members of the community for K through 12, just to give kids a place that they can go and, you know, have their recess, their playtime, right? We're calling ours the STEM playground or the STEM sandbox. So they have that ability to just lean into just that fun, creative side of their brain, but also working that scientific, more logical process-based side of their brain too. So yeah, that's what we're working towards. And, you know, just reach out to us if you are interested in the work that we do. And, you know, we can collaborate on the different curriculum that we've developed, that sort of thing, and, you know, offer our build guides as a way to kind of help keep your STEM or future STEM scientists and professionals in your lives engaged.
Love that. Thank you very much. Rich, same question to you. What's coming down the pipe for Drive Ohio?
Sure. Well, we're always adding more to our toolkit. If you want to check that out online, it's drive.ohio.gov/toolkit. It's all free, 100% free curriculum and webinars with bite-sized education. We included featuring Bree from PIL on that recently. One of the things I'm most excited about that's coming up, we call it battery lasagna. So we were just at a battery conference, and we're trying to figure out how to make batteries more exciting for students. And some very smart scientists at a networking break enlightened me on the idea that there's many layers to a battery. So we don't have it all figured out yet, but those are just the sort of both whimsical, but also, you know, there's some substance behind what we're talking about here. That's one of the next things we're cooking up in the STEM lab. So stay tuned for that one.
I love that. And I can feel another PIL coming on.
You bet.
Yeah. Awesome. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to chat with us, to sort of share the work that we're working on together. And I'm so excited to be able to highlight two amazing organizations within our partnership, but more broadly within our community of transformative education. So thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin, and join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.